You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Let's head across the ditch now, shall we?
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
A second wave of COVID-19 has hit Victoria and New South Wales, and the border between the two states has been closed for the first time in 101 years. Firstly, though, I asked Zoe Kanatis about how the Australian government is treating the residents of Melbourne Towers, and if outcry about the mistreatment will result in stand down by the police.
These nine towers have been put into this really intense lockdown at least 5 days before Victoria holistically was put back into their Stage 3 lockdown, which I believe happened last night for them, or the night before. So Victoria have now completely gone back into Stage 3. But however, these nine towers that are heavily police monitored and have a lot of police presence were in lockdown before that. The government's justification for this action of putting these towers in public housing of vulnerable people in lockdown is that they are living in high density with many shared spaces. However, that justification could be applied to any apartment building within Melbourne, if we think about it.
Mm.
The areas in the suburbs were high risk, and I mentioned last week that some Victorian suburbs were going into lockdown Stage 3 again, but now this is blanket for the entire of Victoria. It still doesn't quite measure up, and that the whole lockdown, these towers being in this really heavy lockdown, is obviously caused so much criticism and backlash. We've seen cases like the government are giving a family of six people off food, and the portions are incredibly small. It's near to impossible it was at the beginning to get any supplies to anyone living in these houses. There's been so many advocacy groups and charities who have been collecting food and making food for them, and they were struggling a little bit to get food into the apartment blocks. The stories coming out are pretty horrific. A mother was unable to get nappies for at least 6 hours, and when they were able to supply her with nappies, it was 3 a.m. and she was expected to leave her children alone in the apartment block. These are just little stories that I think hopefully paints a picture that this is obviously not just happening to two or three people. These are 3,000 people plus living in these apartment blocks, all facing similar situations where they are essentially in prison. It's a heavy statement, but it's pretty true that they're not allowed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
There's police outside of their door.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want COVID to spread. And I feel like that's understandable. But the way that the government has gone about this, the police presence, the lack of food, the lack of supplies, the really short notice that all these people had, it is really unjust and really unfair. It seems particularly unfair considering we're seeing so many vulnerable people, some minorities in these buildings being somewhat targeted for this lockdown. And then there's the flip side of these high-rises in Melbourne who are a bit of the one percenters in terms of money, that they're not going through any similar restrictions.
Yeah. Obviously, this is sparked a lot of international news and outcry further than Australia about the ways in which these are violations. And I wondered if the government is listening to those calls at all.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of advocacy groups, like some unions and the refugee advocacy group here in Australia as well, putting their support behind the demands that the people in the towers have created.
Mm-hmm.
So also, I think I saw this morning that they sort of had this Voices of the Tower union kind of, I think they have banded together themselves and are trying to use their voices to demand change and also just get the government to acknowledge what they're doing is quite wrong.
Yeah.
But that has been quite a new development.
It almost seems like the Australian government, the more outcry there is, the more the government wants to cling to their first action being the right one and just refuse to stand down from it.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. It is like that. It's this sort of pride and this ego and this power trip that this government seems to be on. Perhaps a lot of governments are like that. Like, they're really steadfast in what they do and they very rarely admit they're wrong.
Mm. Other big news that's come out of Victoria going back into lockdown is that the border between Victoria and New South Wales has closed for the first time in, was it 100 years?
Yeah, 101 years.
Okay, so the need for that, I guess, is because New South Wales isn't back in lockdown, but Victoria is. What's public response to this been?
Yeah, there's been something like 50,000 people crossing back over the border from Victoria to New South Wales in order to get home before this lockdown was enforced in Victoria. And I think there were queues on Wednesday, on last night, with just hour-long queues at these checkpoints to get back over to the border. A lot of people live on the border of Victoria and New South Wales, which is something that I didn't really think about until this was all happening. They were just so adamant that they were never going to do it, and now that it has come to this, I guess, really does show that Victoria perhaps are getting a little bit out of hand with their numbers and are really needing to rein it in and unfortunately go back into lockdown again for another 6 weeks.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.